Now, what is the survey for?
Well, I'm an independent researcher interested in change, and I noticed that this curve is bumpy, and then there's a rapid decline, and then it's
stable.
And I'm wondering, since the government was doing whatever it was doing the whole time, what suddenly changed in 93?
Wasn't that when Dinkins, those guys got into office?
Dinkins left and Giuliani came in.
So basically it's to say that Giuliani hired so many police officers.
Well, but he came in after the change started.
Giuliani came after the change started?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say that whatever a mayor does doesn't really affect until sometime later.
So usually.
I think that whatever Dinkins implemented, Giuliani came into it while it was happening.
Uh-huh.
And he just kept it
going. That would be logical in that way.
That's what I think.
Do you remember anything specific about what was different about what was happening before that?
I think in the 80s, when it was at its highest point, which is around 87, that's when the drug influx was so great.
That was the big,
that was the boom for crack.
Right.
It started in the 80s. When it's like anything else with drugs, they think it's they don't know how bad it is.
Uh-huh.
Like now, everybody, all the youngsters from this area and every other area smoke a lot of marijuana.
Uh-huh.
And they think it's just a drug of choice as far as it's not a hard drug. So I think they thought the same thing about crack in this area. And then once it affected them so bad, the crime rate started rising so rapidly that no one knew the
severity crack of it. You think it maybe had something to do with crack being such a poisonous drug?
And then about this time right here, when they found out, or they realized that it was so potent that they had to do something about it. And when they started to finally do something, that's when it started to drop rapidly. Because I know in school, when I was in school at that time, they had all these programs to try to get the kids young not to do it, so that by the time they got to teenagehood, that they would already know the effects.
Do you remember any of those programs?
I remember one which was specific, which is called SPECTA.
Uh-huh.
It was an acronym for something, I just can't remember it.
Right.
But I know, I remember that they would come into the school and they would say, if someone offers you drugs, you say no.
Right.
If someone offers you this or that and the other thing, you say no. Because what they used to say was that a drug dealer was smart and he would give you the drugs for free.
Uh-huh.
Get you hooked, and then next time you have to pay for it.
So you think that...
That actually helped me personally.
Yeah, that sounds like a straightforward teaching tool. No bells or whistles, just the information, really.
Basically, yeah, just information on the effects and what it does to the family and things of that nature. And I mean, for me, I saw the effect that was going on in my neighborhood, which is in East Harlem.
Right.
And I've been in this neighborhood since 70-some. But now I'm 29 years old now. So right when crack really hit and no one knew, because at that time when people were using crack, they still looked good.
Uh-huh.
But once they got hooked,
right.
And then it took over their lives. Then you saw a change in that person.
And I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you say you saw a change in that person. Did maybe the whole community see the change?
Yeah.
Decide to do something different.
I don't know if they decided to do anything different, but sometimes they will probably ostracize that person from certain things.
Uh-huh.
You know, like if there was probably a functioning for money going around, they wouldn't ask that person or invite them to it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Something of that nature, because they knew what that person was about and they knew what they wouldn't bring and what they would bring. Probably bring disruption and they wouldn't bring anything positive.
Right. Do you remember the memorial murals?
I can't say
The graffiti things on handball walls?
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Keith Haring, they crack his whack.
Uh-huh.
And he was from Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
He was also a gay man.
Uh-huh.
And he contracted AIDS, I don't remember what year, but I know it was in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And it was on 120, and it's still there. And people respect it with the figures, the stick figures. But what happened was, once he found out he had AIDS and he was dying, he started to paint more darker images.
Right.
More blackened things and more things of that nature.
Right.
I think I didn't know that, did you?
Well, I hadn't thought of Keith's famous phrase. I've been looking into this from sort of that angle. Noticing. I mean, when I was on 96th Street in 1990, and noticed some of that message, which seemed different.
What he tried to do is he tried to incorporate crack is whack, like a rhyme.
Uh-huh.
And it's just short but sweet.
Uh-huh.
And it's stuck in your head. If you give a long speech, no one's going to remember that.
Yeah, right.
But you can remember something bright orange.
Right.
And crack is whack. And not to mention that it's in 125th. And it's right when you get off the highway.
Right.
You can see it from the FDR Drive.
Right.
And when you're getting off the FDR to get on 2nd Avenue, you see it.
Does it matter who says it?
I don't think so. But I know that phrase has been around for years.
Right.
I remember it as a kid. And actually, I didn't find out about Keith Haring until I got a little bit older.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I know I read an article in the paper about him that said Keith Haring was the man who pioneered the stick figures with the little, like, breakdancing stuff
right.
to have. And he was the one who came up with that little slogan, Crack and Quack.
Right. All right, and what's your name?
My name is Jose Lopez.
Jose, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right.